Our New Testament reading for today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized in the water of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came down from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Where to begin? It's a question that I ask myself every time I write a sermon. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, a world without end. It's very hard to say that without ending with amen, amen. Beginnings are important. Christmas is a celebration of the beginning of Jesus' life. And last week, our pastor Dana talked about new beginnings, remembering the past year and starting a new year. Well, today we are going to be talking about the baptism of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit descended upon him. It's another important beginning. Because had this event not taken place, there might not have been a ministry, no getting into trouble with the authorities, no crucifixion, no resurrection experiences, no Christian religion, no church. It's an event that most of us don't give much thought to, but maybe we should. It did raise some questions in my mind, such as, what did John the Baptist say that prompted Jesus to ask for baptism? Did his ministry really start at age 30 after he received the Holy Spirit? And if so, did he have no ministry before that? I wonder if he knew what he was getting himself into. Was everything revealed to him in a great flash of understanding? Or did he figure it out as he went along? Let's take a closer look at Mark's story of the baptism of Jesus at the Jordan River to see if we get any answers. Now first, let's look at the messenger and the message. John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. This description of John speaks volumes about the man. He wasn't in designer clothes and eating fancy foods. He was a man living the message. And because of that, people listened. He wasn't trying to shine the spotlight on himself. He was trying to shine the light on the one who was greater and stronger than him. He said, "I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals." Could that be why Jesus went to the Jordan that day? It was said that John preached the gospel of silence in 20 decibels. His message told people what in the heart of their hearts they knew, and he brought out in them what in the depths of their souls they were waiting for. Now, isn't that the goal in any good sermon? That you will find something in the message that will resonate in your soul and awaken a passion or purpose in you that had been neglected or ignored. As I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but think about the first time that I stood before you. It was to read one of Reverend Webster's sermons because no other substitute could be found. And the first sermon that I ever wrote was for a Christmas Eve service about 7 years ago. And I've done over 25 sermons since then. And as I've told many of you, I would never in a million years thought that I would be or could be up here doing this today. I never enjoyed or excelled researching or writing papers in school. It was not on my bucket list. All I can say is the Lord works in mysterious ways. I sit down to write, and God takes the pen. I don't see myself as John, living the message, do as I do. I still relate to the familiar saying, please be patient with me, God isn't finished yet. I'm like most of you that struggle to follow the very message that I give. I like the analogy of an old-time operator. I will connect you with a person whom you wish to, well, no, I mean need to, speak with, and then fade out. Shakespeare once said, there is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyages of their lives is bound in shallows and in misery. You need to have a path, a purpose in life. You need to step out of your comfort zone and reach for the heavens. Without that, our lives will be shallow and miserable. Is that what led Jesus to Judea to listen to John? Did he know that it was time to leave his quiet, peaceful life in Nazareth to answer the call and challenge of God? What we do know is that Jesus was there, and he made the decision to be baptized. And wow, talk about instant gratification. The scripture tells us, and just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. God opened the sky and spoke to Jesus, not to the crowd, saying, you are my Son, not this is my Son. Jesus had submitted his decision to God, and that decision was unmistakably approved. And we also have in the story the appearance of the Holy Spirit. I like to think of the Holy Spirit as God's great care package, packaged for his Son, equipped with everything necessary for his journey, all the tools he would need to follow the path that God had laid out for him. Was this the moment when all was revealed to Jesus, or was it little by little as needed? Was that why he went to the wilderness? The next verse in Mark says that the Spirit immediately thrust him into the wilderness where he was for a long period of time. When all is said and done, does it really matter if we have answered all these questions? Don't we have all the answers that we need? It has been said that there are two important days in a person's life: the day they were born and the day they realize why they were born. If this wasn't the moment for Jesus, it's clear that it started his discovery. We do know that this event changed his life forever, and ours also. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their lives is bound in shallows and in misery. Do you know why you were born? I know the Holy Spirit has the answer. Let us pray. So today, let us refresh ourselves. Let the Spirit of God hover over the misery in our life, call us by name, and deliver us into a good and blessed place. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.